This morning, as we continue following the Advent season, I want us to look at bettering our relationship with Christ this morning. You know, I always say this, and I mean this, I want to leave better than I came. I want my days, every day, I want to be better than what I was yesterday. That yesterday's gone. I can't change it. But I can change what I do from now on. And that's getting closer to Christ. Amen. Every day I want to be one step closer to Christ. Every day Christians walk around wondering if they'll make it to heaven. I've asked people, I've talked to people before, and when you ask them, when you die, will you go to heaven? And I've had so many respond to me, well, I hope so. I hope so. Well, that doesn't sound very confident, right? I don't want just I hope so. I want to know so. Amen?
Amen.
That's what I want. Most will respond, well, I hope so, and then they'll go into telling me about how good they are. Well, I've been good. I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I do this, and I do that. I give money. I go to church. I pay my tithes. None of that matters, really. It does. It helps us keep the lights on. But let me tell you, what really matters is that it's not just that I hope so, it's that I know so. That's what really matters. I can come to the Father in heaven with all confidence knowing. Amen?
Amen.
When you leave here today, my hope is that you don't just hope so, that you know so. And if there's any doubt in your heart today, that you'll settle it today. And you'll know so when you leave. Amen?
Amen.
This morning's text is in 1 John 3, 1 through 10. That's towards the back of the Bible, a little before Revelation. There's John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, and then Revelation. But 1 John's the first John, right? Not John, but the first John. You get it? Maybe some of you. It kind of gets confusing sometimes, you know? James, Paul, whoever, somebody said something. I even get confused sometimes. 1 John 3, 1 through 10. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be as has not yet been made known, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. All who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that He appeared so that He might take away our sins. And in Him is no sin. No one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen Him nor knows Him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous just as He is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. And no one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. Heavenly Father, help us this morning understand. Lord, clear our minds and open up our hearts so we may receive Your word. Lord, I thank You and praise You for what You're going to do and what You've done. I give thanks. Lord, I praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, every one of us has an opportunity to be a child of God. Amen. Every one of us. And because if God cares and loves each and every one of us, each one of us has a value. You know, and God sees that value. And even when this world doesn't see any value in you, God does. God loves you. And each one of you, Jesus chose to go to the cross for you. Each one of us, He chose to go to the cross for each one of us. I love that song, "When He Was on the Cross, I Was on His Mind." That's a good song because it reminds me that Jesus loves me and He loves everyone. He chose to do that. But you know, the harsh reality is not everyone's going to go to heaven. That's the harsh reality. And it should pain us all, just as it pains our Father in heaven. Each one in the world is not a child of God, and we see that today. I mean, you know, you can look, you can watch the news, and you can see there's lots of people. You can walk in this town, drive through this town, and you can see many who don't know Christ. The difference between a child of God and who the Bible calls children of the devil is our response to Jesus Christ. You've either chosen Him or you're not. Simple as that. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus. How do I know? How do you know that you're saved? How do you know that you'll make it to heaven? How can you be sure this morning? Where's your hope at? That's what I ask you. How do you know? And how you know is where you put your hope at. Is your hope in Jesus this morning? I think that a life without hope is really a living hell. I've seen lots of miserable people that have no hope and they're just miserable. The one thing that scares me about hell is that there will be no absence of God, all right? I mean, there will be an absence of God, but there will be an absence of hope. There will be no hope. You can never for eternity change that situation of no hope and complete separation from God Almighty. Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust Him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." You know what? A child of God, I heard somebody say something this morning that kind of goes along with what I'm saying. They went to a place where they'd been before, but it made them feel very uncomfortable this time. There was a difference. And that difference was they have Christ in their life now, where before they did not. Christ does that. He gives us that hope. We ask God to fill us with joy and peace as we trust God, and that hope may overflow us by the power of the Holy Spirit within us. Amen. It's not about our circumstances. It's not about our physical well-being. It's about what's inside of us that gives us the peace and the hope because we trust in God. And you know, one thing I've found is hope is contagious. Hope is contagious. You get around a bunch of people that have hope, let me tell you what, you're going to feel better. Amen?
Amen.
That's why I love my church family, because I can be around other people that have hope. Other people who know Christ and they're not down in the dumps. Now, we all kind of get sideways sometimes. I know that. We kind of get depressed at times. And that's just Satan trying to take our hope away. He's trying to steal our hope. But when we come together, I have a phone call every now and then and it just builds me right back up because one of my friends, one of my family in Christ have encouraged me, and I'm reminded that there is hope. Amen?
Amen.
How many have experienced that? Amen? Amen? We all experience that, don't we? I hope that you do. I like being around people with hope. Right? That's where I want to put myself, around people with hope. I love being around people that I can see the Holy Spirit working in their lives. John tells us how great, in verse 1, how great is the love the Father has lavished that we should be called the children of God. Man, that God loves us, that God, He cares for us, He desires to be a part of our lives. That gives me hope. Amen?
Amen.
That should give you hope this morning. Unless you're here this morning and you do not know if you're a child of God or not. And I would pray that today is that day that you find that hope and that peace and that love that is overwhelming. You know, some people battle every day. They struggle inside. They're torn apart, trying to figure out who they belong to. I've heard preachers use the analogy or illustration about straddling the fence or living in the gray area or you know, the struggle, this battle between flesh and the spirit. Paul talked about that. People struggle like that all the time because they don't know where they belong. I want to know. I want you to know that you belong to Christ this morning. Amen?
Amen.
You know that in your heart. Because of that hope that we have, we can enjoy heaven one of these days. We can be excited when death comes. Man, some people are terrified of death because they struggle with not knowing, I think. Now, I'm not saying that I'm ready, you know, that just take me right now. But let me tell you, I'm confident of where I'm going. So if I do go today or tomorrow or whenever, I know where I'm going and I'm excited about that because I know there's a better place.
Amen?
Amen? I don't worry about those things. Man, that should have everybody on their feet clapping and shouting hallelujah. Amen? That hope is action. Amen. Our hope is an action word. I also know that the devil knows how powerful hope is when we have it. And he's always out there trying to take it away from you because he knows how powerful it is. He does everything to rob you. This society will do everything it can to rob you. There is no I think so. Amen?
Amen.
There is no I think so. There is I know so. Amen? I know so. How do you know? Because you know. It's in you. The Holy Spirit living within you. You know. Can you say this morning without a doubt, I'm heaven bound? Amen? Can you say that? I love that song that the Gaithers sing. I'm heaven bound. Man, isn't that a wonderful song? A wonderful thought. We're just passing through. We're just aliens living in a foreign land. One of these days we'll be with our eternal heavenly Father in our heavenly home. When darkness seems to hide its heed, I rest on His unchanging grace. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Isn't that a wonderful song? That's where my hope is built. When he shall come with trumpet sound, may I then in him be found. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. You know, I'm not a child of God for what I've accomplished. It's because of what Jesus did for me. Amen. John is speaking to believers and believers who are being deceived, distracted, and had doubts of who they were in Christ. Sound familiar? John tells us to remember or recall how much God loves you. Remember how much God loves you. I like to remember the day that I found Him. I remember the day that I got saved. Amen. I like to remember that day because it reminds me of how much God loves me. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we are in a relationship with God and we have a spiritual communion with Him. The Father gave this love and we didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. He offered it to us first. Amen?
Amen.
You know, it's what we talk about prevenient grace is all about. The two Latin words meaning to come before. And prevenient grace makes coming to God possible because God has first come to us. He sought us before. The God that goes before. I love that. You know, this participation that we have in the family of God makes the believer a mystery to the world. They don't understand why we come to church. They don't understand why we show up on Sunday mornings or Sunday nights or Wednesday nights. Hey, the world doesn't understand that. They don't get that relationship, that desire that we have to want to be here. Not because it makes us more holy, not because it gets us to heaven, but because we have a desire to be with other believers with hope. Amen?
Amen.
The standard of holiness really is it's really clear. We are to be just like Him, and as children of God, we must reflect His character and His attitude, His values, and His lifestyle. We must mimic who Christ was. We are to conform to the image of Christ and not conform to the image of this world. Being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit into the image of Christ. Being drawn and being pulled away from the worldly things and being molded and made into who Christ is. Timothy Crutcher wrote a book called Becoming Human Again. Wonderful book. If you get a chance, read that book. It's not very big. We are to conform to the image of Christ, so let's apply the Scripture to our lives every day. That's hard for some to do, but we must. Guys, we must. Especially as this world waxes worse and as this world continues to draw and deceive, because that's what the devil does. He draws and he deceives and he says, oh, that's not so bad. You can do this and you can do that. Surely, God wouldn't keep you from heaven if you do that. Isn't that the same thing that He did to Eve? And that's what this world wants to tell us. And we see churches falling away from the Scriptures all the time, moving, pulling themselves away from the Scriptures to conform more to the worldly views instead of to the biblical views of Christ. Maybe you're here this morning, and if you ask this heavenly question, what would you answer? Would you say, I hope so that you're going to heaven? Or would you say, I know so, I'm going to heaven because Christ lives within me. He did a mighty thing in my life. He changed me from who I was to who I am now. And He's changing me more and more every day. The Holy Spirit will bear witness with your spirit. You know that? Romans 8:16, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. People in this world will know who you belong to. 1 John 3:24 says this, those who obey His commands live in Him, and He in them. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. Amen. 1 John answers the question of how we can recognize the Spirit of God. In chapter 4, verse 2, every spirit that acknowledges that Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. Whew. Do you acknowledge Jesus to everyone in this world? Do you acknowledge that you are a born-again, saved Christian that is bound for heaven? Amen. Amen. I testify to that. Amen. Amen. Chapter 3, verse 3 says, everyone that has the hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Everyone who has the Spirit of God dwelling in them will live a life that is pleasing to God. Because as Jesus is pure, we will live our lives Christ-like. Does that mean we're perfect? No. Not at all. Does that mean that we won't stumble and mess up at times? No. Does that mean we won't attempt to live our lives like Christ? Yes.
Amen.
We're going to do all we can. And that's what it's all about, is that our desires are changed. Our desire is to be more like Christ. Amen?
Amen.
I attempt every day to be like Christ. I cannot be Christ. But my desire, my attempts every day is to be more like Him. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Pleasing God is not to keep on sinning and do the stupid things that we did before, but allowing God to help us in the areas of our lives that causes us to stumble. To break those strongholds in our life, to avoid those things that drags us backwards instead of bringing us forward. Being fully consecrated to God is evidenced by our choice towards being holy, and only God can purge and change our lives, though. There's nothing we can do. It's not about the works. It's not about the good things that we do. It's about consecrating ourselves to Christ every day and into the work that the Holy Spirit does in us. It's that surrendered life that gives God complete control of our lives. Complete access to every area of your heart. Because guess what? He knows anyway.
Amen.
You think you might hide. You can hide it from me. You can hide it from everybody else around you. But you can't hide it from God. He knows. When we do that, we can know that we are God's children. We know we're God's by the lifestyle changes. Let me tell you, when God comes into your life, when the Holy Spirit starts working in your life will change. Your lifestyle will change. The things you did before, let me tell you, you won't do again. You won't want to. It'll make you miserable when you do. It's not the works that saves us. It's grace that saves us. But a new life in Christ will change the way we behave. 1 John 2:3 says, we know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commandments. And that's just because we want to. It's not to be, we are just doing it. It's because we desire to do it. Acts 15:8, God who knows the heart showed that He accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as He did for us. God is not the respecter of persons, and He sent the Holy Spirit to the disciples, and He desires a Spirit for each one of us in our lives. You don't have to earn His favor. He accepts you, and you must accept what He has done for you. Approved by God because of the blood of Christ. Amen? Amen. The blood of Christ will cover you, and God sees His Son. Amen?
Amen.
Did you get that? I mean, do you get it? Amen?
Amen. We got it.
All right, Teddy. Thank you. I'm glad Teddy got it. I can always count on Teddy's affirmation, you know. I can always count on it. Scripture says, draw near to Him and He'll draw near to you. You're invited to the throne of God. Amen. I love that. You know, you're invited to the throne of God. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. There's going to be a great banquet table prepared for you. Amen?
Amen.
I know we're going to go eat here in a few minutes. Yeah? My belly's growling. I'm sure there's some good pie over there. But man, what a glorious thought of what Jesus has prepared for us. Man, it's going to be beyond our comprehension. You know, I know we talk about the convictions of God. And God does convict us. But His conviction comes with love and mercy and grace. The only condemnation comes from Satan. He wants to destroy your hope. He wants to say there is no hope. And He wants to say there is no love and there is no peace. Don't let the accuser run you away from God, but let God lift you up when you fall short. Amen. Sometimes we don't act like children of God, and your Heavenly Father has to deal with us. Let me tell you, He will. And that's what conviction is. He'll tell you when you're wrong. He'll kick you in the seat of the pants, turn you back around, and set you in the right direction. Why? Because He loves you. Amen. We know we are God's by our love towards others, though. 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Whew. Man, I love you guys.
Amen.
I do. Not because I want to, because I have to. No. No, I love you guys because Christ lives in me and He loves you. And because of that love that's within me, I couldn't love you before. But I can because of Christ living within me. You get that? I know we can aggravate each other. Come on now, I'm telling you the truth. Christians aggravate Christians. Sometimes we get kind of aggravated at each other. I've even seen Christians get mad. Does that surprise you? But let me tell you, there's a difference between, you know, we get aggravated, but we love each other. That's a whole different sermon. I'm not going to go into that today. 2 Timothy 2:19, the Lord knows those who are His, and everyone that confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. We should love our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we should be concerned for the salvation of our neighbors. Amen? Are you concerned about your neighbor? Amen?
Amen.
I know we have some pretty nasty neighbors sometimes. We do. I wonder what God thought when He looks down and remember the conversation He had when He wanted to destroy everybody. Moses is like, no, wait a second. Right? Moses is like, wait, wait, wait. And then again, he's like, I'm going to... Told Noah. What did he tell Noah? Abraham. You remember? God gets frustrated when He looks down. He gets disgusted. We should love our brothers and sisters. We should love our neighbors. When everything is coming your way, it seems like we're on the wrong road, but why is love so important? That's really my question. Because the lack of love is a spiritual problem that gives the devil a foothold in your life.
Amen.
Because God is love. We can answer the heavenly question, I know so. I know because what Christ did for me and for what He did for us, and we do not have to have doubt and fear or the fear of death because Christ is our salvation and Christ is our hope. Amen?
Amen.
I'll leave you with this morning. Dear friends, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him. And this is the command to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. Those who obey His commands live in Him, and He in them. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit that He gave us. Amen. So do you know this morning? Do you know? I invite you this morning, if you don't know, just come forward this morning and let's pray together. Amen. So that you might leave here knowing that Christ is your salvation and Christ is where our hope is. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I thank You for Your Word, Lord. I just pray that Your blessings upon each and every one that's here this morning. Lord, that we may leave here knowing in all confidence that You are our hope and our salvation. Lord, I thank You for what You're doing. And Lord, I thank You for what You're going to do. Lord, let us leave here better than we came today. Lord, be with us as we fellowship together. Lord, let us love each other as You love us. I pray this all in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.